You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome, welcome. What's up, DC? Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Wizards with SB Nation's Bullets Forever writer Ben Mahech and myself, Anthony Citadino. We cover the team. We're your hosts, and you are now Locked On Wizards. Go subscribe to the Locked On Wizards podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you may listen. Go throw us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. We have a great show ahead of us. Ben and I have a ton to get into, but first, this episode is brought to you by CBDMD. January is important in setting the tone for the new year, and in 2021, that has never been more true. Luckily, our good friends at CBDMD are here to give you the support you need to conquer your New Year's resolutions and make this year your best one yet. And if those resolutions happen to involve fitness, they've got a brand new topical product that'll help you keep moving all year long. CBD Relieve with lidocaine fuses CBDMD's hybrid board spectrum formula with fast-acting lidocaine to help provide temporary relief for minor aches and pains. And with the new bag-on-valve spray technology, Relieve can be applied comfortably at any angle, even upside down. And to make it even easier, to get the year started off right, they're offering all our listeners 20% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 20% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. Ben, we had some breaking news on Tuesday from the one, the only Woj. We got a Woj bomb. The game scheduled for Wednesday night against the Utah Jazz is now postponed due to league contact tracing protocols. We first found out that Mo Wagner and Rui Hachimura were the two players that were held out of basketball activities due to the league protocol. And then later found out that Tuesday's practice was canceled. Now, game's canceled. The Wizards will not have eight available players, I guess. What are your reactions to this and just really how COVID has affected the league?
The Wizards were kind of seemingly dodging this. I think they played three straight opponents where they later realized that someone on the court had to be, you know, subject to the league protocol after potentially had contracting the virus. So they were kind of dodging this thing the entire time, and it was closing in around them as it's been closing around everybody, I think, in the U.S. right now. And they're no different than anybody else here. And I think when you employ 12, 13, 14 players and it's been spreading as rapidly as it has, especially in the NBA and really everywhere, it's kind of an inevitability. The league has expected this, and we'll touch a little bit more about what their protocol has been like and what the sort of safeguards they've put in place to avoid these sort of situations from popping up. But it was really disappointing. I mean, it sucked. They had a really good win against Phoenix, and not that this is even basketball related. We obviously, of course, hope that everyone is healthy on the team. Right. Scott Brooks on Tuesday talked about the sort of personal difficulties he's dealt with, which is not being able to see family and friends and the constant worries he has when he's going to the hotel rooms and traveling and whatnot. So this is particularly difficult when you're in that line of work where you can't avoid seeing people, when you're touching players and you don't really know what they've been doing. And you see these cases rising. So it's really unfortunate. I mean, all around, it's a bummer. It's inevitability. It's disappointing. I think the NBA could have been doing more from the start. I'm glad that they put in more safety measures in place that we'll touch on later. But I guess with you, Anthony, I mean, when you saw this, what was your initial reaction when you saw that not only were Rui and Mo Wagner out, but later it was reported by Shams Charania that they don't have eight players available, which I'm just speculating, but I think my speculation is valid in that they don't have eight players available, which means that more players are going to be subject to this protocol outside of Mo and Rui. So what is your general reaction to what's been going on?
Right. We don't know exactly what's going on, but most likely most of these players probably have it. They probably tested positive for it, and they're probably taking, you know, the necessary action right now before they announce who has COVID and how many players are going to be out for the 14 days for them to quarantine. This is not surprising for me. You and I have talked about this, especially during the bubble days and how great the NBA did in the bubble and really set the tone for all sports throughout worldwide. And they did great, they had no issues really with COVID in the bubble that postponed games like this. And now here we are, back to normal, back to traveling all the time. And we're starting to see a lot of games being postponed and a lot of guys being out for 14 days. Cause just like you said, this is inevitable. 100% is inevitable. The whole country is really, really it's not good right now. Right. I mean, wherever we may be, wherever you guys may be listening right now, wherever you are in the country, it's not good where I am. I know it's not good where Ben is. And it's majority, it's not going very well just because of how everyone is really, treating it. The protocol situations and the NBA, they're falling victim to it. What can you do? You can't tell these guys to not, not everyone's just going to go in quarantine, just like the rest of the country, right? These players are going to go out. We saw what we've seen with Harden. He hops on a plane every day, every time he has two days off. And we can't say, sit here and expect these guys to just shut their lives down just because, they're in the NBA. And now we're seeing it. We're seeing how it's affecting the NBA. It's not surprising to me because it's the same thing that's going on in the world right now. So I'm not surprised by this. I think last night, Ben, you and I actually were talking after the show saying we wouldn't even be surprised within the next 5 to 10 games, something would be canceled for the Wizards. And here we are, the next game.
Yeah. And it's especially a bummer for, the healthy guys, and hopefully most of the players on the roster are healthy and the coaching staff and whatnot. They'll resume play when they need to, and things will continue. But for Rui, you have to feel for him. His rookie year is cut short due to COVID. He goes back into the bubble after missing months of action. And now during the season, he had this bizarre pink eye situation where he had this infection. And then he comes back for a few games, and now he's dealing with this again.
Right.
Poor kid can't catch a break. He's starting his NBA career. He showed flashes of growth this year, and this is another sort of wrench thrown into it. And I can't help but feel bad for him. All the other young players who have really struggled to get going in their young NBA careers just because this situation is the way it is.
It's so tough to see. It is. And he has worked so hard to get where he is now. But this is the world we live in. This is no one's fault. And this is just what we have to deal with right now. Hopefully, after the vaccinations, at some point down the road, we can put this behind us in some sort of way, not too far away. I hope that we can start, getting back to normal. But right now, it's not really looking like it. Right now, I hate to say it, but the NBA is not doing well COVID-wise compared to leagues like the NFL, really. The NFL, they're about to wrap their whole season up. Super Bowl, that's creeping up. The divisional round's coming up. And the NBA really just started. A lot of teams aren't even 10 games in, and we've seen how many games have been postponed so far.
Yeah, a handful have already been postponed. I think that's kind of the nature of what the league is. You're playing more games. You're traveling a lot more than you are in the NFL.
Right.
And I think it's if a couple players on your NFL roster get sick or have to be out due to contact tracing purposes, you still have 6 trillion other players on the roster who can step
right,
up.
Right.
But
right.
Here in the NBA, it's like if one guy goes down due to COVID, you're going to have to do contract tracing for basically the whole team. And this is what the Wizards are kind of undergoing. I'm assuming that most players on the roster don't have coronavirus, but let's say one of them does, and you're in practice all day with this player, and you're in film with them, and you're in games with them, and you're high-fiving each other on the bench. It's like you have 12, 13 players on the roster. It's going to take your whole team down. And at the beginning of the season, Scott Brooks said something interesting. He's like, what is it going to take for the Wizards to have a successful season? And he said, a lot of it's going to hinge on health. And how are we going to handle this sort of coronavirus situation where other teams might not be handling as well as we do. And today he talked about the personal responsibility that they have as a team to protect each other. And you mentioned like the James Hardens of the world and how some teams employ players who are somewhat reckless and negligent with their behavior. I think the Wizards have made a point to tell their players, and I think they thankfully have players on the roster who have a good understanding of what's going on, where you can't act up off the court. And when you're off the court, and just stay off of it. Like go to your hotel room and hang out and don't do anything that's going to put your teammates in danger. And look, there's players who might have been doing all of that and still got unlucky. And that's not to throw Rui or Mo Wagner off the bench. I'm assuming that they've done everything that they could. Yet sometimes bad luck strikes, and that's the nature of this sort of illness too. You can do everything right and get it. And when you're traveling, you're going to hotel rooms from arena to arena, it's going to increase your probability of getting it. So like you said, it's an inevitability. And I'm not sure. I mean, we'll talk about the sort of protocols that they've added since this has happened on Tuesday. But I'm just not sure this is going to be enough to have a smooth season after this.
Right. And we want that. We hope for these guys to get done with practice, get done with their games, and go and just hang out in their hotel rooms and not gather with anyone. But these just aren't the bubble days, right? When what we saw in the bubble, I mean, what did we see from Lou Williams? What wasn't he having dinner at strip clubs like a couple nights a week or something like that? And other players on the Celtics were trying to sneak, you know, girls in, which that, I mean, they're human, obviously, you don't want to be cooped up all the time, but now they're out of the bubble. And, you know, after games, after practices, you go back to your lives. And I know that for us, you know, we're pretty much hermits in our house, right? Besides work. And these guys, it's who knows where they're going, who knows what they're doing. So I mean, there's no tracking it whatsoever. There's no rule in place that's saying that they have to, you know, stay and you know, be by themselves, don't gather after, you know, in their free time. It's just not the way of it right now. And I hope they're able to get a handle on it at some point. It just seems like right now it's starting to get, it's starting to peak. It's starting to be really bad. And that begs the question, will they do a 2-week shutdown? I know Adam Silver has spoken on it, but I don't know if that could be an option. But if it gets that bad, and Ben, we've seen this virus really take over the whole world. I mean, this country's really in turmoil right now. I wouldn't be surprised if it got that bad in a sports league. I mean, if it was the NBA, if it was, you know, something else, but I wouldn't be surprised if it got to that point where it was that bad. I mean, do you think, you know, Adam Silver is going to at some point maybe think about some sort of shutdown?
Yeah, I think if it gets bad enough and it seems to be trending that way where they're postponing games almost every single day now, they're going to have to consider that. It's not getting any better. I think they're trying to toughen out the month of January. Everyone expected January to be a bad month for COVID because of the holidays and whatnot.
Right,
and it
right.
really has shown to be a horrendous month for the country, like you said. Maybe things will improve. Maybe Scott Brooks talked about another interesting point. Someone asked him a question about the vaccines and whether, you know, how he feels about the team and the league administering vaccines. And he was honest and said, like, look, we can't skip the line. There's other people who are the frontline workers and other sort of employers that have do much more meaningful work than us that need to get the vaccine before us. And I thought that was an admirable point, because as much as we love basketball and as much as we care about it, of course, it's important that the NBA has some sort of morality in place in terms of getting the vaccine and whatnot. So it's another interesting wrinkle in this, because let's say the vaccine becomes widely available in 2 months, then maybe NBA players and the league are able to obtain these vaccines and not skip the line per se and finish the season. But until that point, I mean, the confidence level has to start decreasing, because games are getting postponed every day. You're employing, there's 500 some odd players in the NBA, hundreds of coaches, hundreds of staff members. You have probably close to 1,000 people who work for the NBA. You have that amount of people with the virus spreading as much as it has. It's going to be really, really difficult to contain.
It absolutely will, and we have a lot more to dig in with that after the break. So much more on COVID, on the Jazz game being postponed, and then really looking forward to the next slate. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Bet Online. Are we ready for some football? I know you guys are. I know you guys saw that Bama win last night. NFL wild card round just finished up. with the divisional round right around the corner. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The wild card games are now behind us with the divisional rounds ahead. Will the Bills keep it rolling? Does Tom Brady have enough left in the tank for another Super Bowl run? Who is your pick? Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back, DC. Ben, on Tuesday, it was announced that the NBA was making some changes in its league-wide COVID protocol. In particular, they're limiting non-team guests in the hotel rooms and requiring masks on the bench now. Obviously we've watched a bunch of games this year, and we've seen, you know, coaches have their masks down and guys on the bench have their masks down. Some fans have, you know, because they're letting fans and have their masks down. Are you confident this is going to help?
I'm not entirely confident it's going to help, but what struck me with this was, I don't know if you were aware, because I wasn't. The hell did they ever allow people to go into their hotel rooms without getting tests, to my knowledge? That is absurd. So you're doing testing every single day with these players. You're letting them travel on the road, and then you're potentially letting people meet them in hotel rooms? That defeats the purpose of absolutely everything. And you mentioned that, look, you have these players and you can't, obviously you can't track them and everything they're doing. You can't tell them to stay inside and lock themselves away. Of course not. That's not reasonable either.
Right, right.
But this is a minimal ask. Don't have people who aren't affiliated with the team go to your hotel rooms. That's not a difficult ask. I don't like that. That's to be expected nowadays. We're 10 months into this thing. Why are you having visitors in your hotel room amid a deadly pandemic? Just doesn't make sense. And at the very least, there should have been a punishment in place for this already. Why is this just now a part of the protocol? It should have been a part of the protocol well before the season started. Like, if you had people come into your hotel room knowing it's a deadly pandemic, you should have gotten a fine. There should have been repercussions for that. But just now there is? That's an absurd idea that they're just in place. And all these ideas that they should have existed before the season started. I appreciate Adam Silver and the way he handled the bubble, but the way the league has handled this in particular, I disagree with. I think they could have done a better job. They've kind of been hands-off, laissez-faire with it. There should have been tighter restrictions on player movement, perhaps even tighter restrictions on travel. I get that they spaced out the schedule where they have kind of days in place for cancellations and postponements, but why not have like mini tournaments like they do in baseball, where you play the same team twice, three times in a row? They're kind of trying to do that, but
right.
limit your travel even more.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of trouble with this, right? And honestly, Ben, I agree with you 100%. At the beginning of the season, there should have been something implemented in every player's contract, pretty much, to say like to try and really spearhead this and not force the players to quarantine, to not gather, but you know, you're held to a certain standard before this season. There should have been something in place for every player and, you know, and staff member that, you know, that travel, you know, to only gather with, you know, a certain amount of people, mainly probably everyone's like immediate family. Right. And that's, I don't think that's a crazy ask for NBA players, when the whole country should be doing it, and they're just not. And that's like the bigger problem, because like you said, a lot of these guys, they probably were following the rules. But hey, I mean, luck of the draw, I mean, it's everywhere. It's spreading like wildfire. I mean, everywhere it is. And, you know, I mean, just, you know, luck of the draw, especially, you know, playing with these guys all the time, you know, sweating together. I mean, you guys are touching the same ball, like you're breathing on the ball. Like it, that's just what it is. And as you're traveling from, you know, you got to go to Milwaukee, and then you're traveling to, to Chicago. And you go on these long like road trip stints, and that's not that that is just it's so so risky with what with everything going on right now, especially when you know the league is trying to you know create a create some sort of stability without a bubble, right? They're not going to go back to the bubble. They lost a ton of money last season, and now they're seeing now this is the first time you know they're really being hurt like in play, you know, for COVID, but not really like speaking on the stuff right when the season you know got shut down. Now, you know, like you said, games are being postponed all the time now. Maybe not every day, but it's looking like it's starting to get more rapid. And if they don't get a handle on it at some point, we might be in for another shutdown. I really would not be surprised by that at all. I just, especially from looking back to March in, you know, in 2020 and seeing how bad the, you know, how bad COVID really was number wise, cases wise, you know, the death toll compared to right now and how it still continues to rise every day. It's scary. And it's worse. It's flat out just worse. And it's just not the easiest thing right now when they're traveling to every arena around the country. They're traveling to all 30 arenas. And that's just, it's so tough during a pandemic like this. And I know they can't go back to a bubble, but like you said, maybe there could have been like, you know, three destinations where there were like, you know, court, you know, a couple courts in each destination. And then, you know, game set up for, you know, however many teams at this destination for this amount of time. And yeah, I feel like that may have been able to work if they were able to, but we, you know, obviously that's just all conjecture and who the hell knows if that would even, you know, work and who would know if that is even possible to do. But right now it looks like they got to change something, right? Worked.
I remember we were talking to each other before and we were like, they're going to put hundreds of people on Disney and hope this works. Not only is the product going to be awful, but you're just wishful thinking. Right. There's no way you're going to. And it worked. Not only was the product fantastic, but nobody got sick. They had zero positive cases from what I remember.
We were on it. You and I were completely out on the bubble.
Where I was like, they're trying to create a fantasy land here. We're in the middle of a pandemic. There's no way they're going to finish it. And they did it. And it worked seamlessly. And then what really took me aback was at the beginning of this season, they said, hey, creativity, out the window. We're just going to pretend nothing's going on because it business, right? And I'm not ignorant to that. There's a lot of money at stake here. The bubble cost them a lot of money. And you can't convince players to stay in a bubble for months and months and months. But like you said, they could have created mini bubbles for each division. Get creative with it. Play a week and take a week off. Get players tested. Get them healthy and play another week. Limit the amount of games of the season. 72 games during a pandemic seems excessive. And we're seeing that right now. Maybe have a 50-game season. Space it out more, or mini bubbles. I don't know. It's not my job to figure it out, but it was the NBA's job, and they failed.
It's not our job.
It was the NBA's job to figure it out.
They're not doing the best job right now.
They got to figure it out.
No, you're right.
With their feet to the fire right now, because players are testing positive. Entire teams are starting to struggle with this. You're canceling games, and we're not even 10 games into the season. We're barely scratching.
Right, like what if they milk this to around 30 games, and it's that bad to the point games are being postponed every day.
It's already bordering.
They have to shut it down
because players
they'll have to shut it down.
You're just basically like, listen, when Jason Tatum presumably tested positive, and they took Bradley Beal out the game, and they were like, oh, Bradley Beal had conversations with him after the game. Every single player guarded Jason Tatum that game. They shared the ball. Every single time it was passed, the referees touched the ball. Every time he ran up the court, he passed by the coaches. And Bradley Beal was held out of it? Made absolutely zero sense. So you're bordering on negligence every time you have unreasonable sort of implications for these players. And then your protocols don't make really much sense, the way you're administering them at least. It's not making sense. So you need to have more of a constructive system for these players to know how to act. And then when they act up, certain protocols to make sure it doesn't happen again, and also just better safeguards in place. Because what's going on right now, they basically, honestly, it looks like they have none because it's not working.
Ben, I couldn't agree more with you, man. It's not working at all. It's really not working at all. And it's so funny because we're literally just talking about this last night, how that we, of course, a Wizards game is going to be postponed. I mean, just when, like when it, you know, not even 24 hours later, there it is. And that's what did not make sense to me either. Right. You know, the Wizards play Boston. Bradley's the only player on the court that had to, you know, follow the protocol and quarantine, you know, away from the team. I just think right now everything is very jumbled, just like the rest of really the country. I mean, no one really knows. Nothing is consistent. No one really knows exactly what to do, and everyone's really following different protocols. So, I mean, seeing Bradley, you know, be the only player to quarantine after that, after every player, you know, was, you know, pretty much touched Jason Tatum on the floor and dribbled the same ball as Jason Tatum. And it does not make sense to me whatsoever. So, I mean, your guess is as good as mine, but I really, really hope that this, you know, Adam Silver and his team are able to figure something out before it gets to another league. I mean, we're talking about 2 years in a row, a league shutdown.
It's an exhausting conversation, Anthony. This is a conversation that I think is outside of the expertise of us and most people. But you know what isn't exhausting, Anthony? Talking about Built Bar. I use it for energy, and I care about what I put in my body, and that's why I eat Built Bar. Whether you're looking to lose or maintain weight, you should give yourself the chance to indulge with a delicious treat. My favorite flavor is cookies and cream. And the crazy part about Built Bar is it's healthy. It's low calorie, it's low sugar, it's high protein, Anthony. I'm sure you remember when I was on keto, I hated my life. I just ate salads and eggs. I wish I had the chance to indulge. If you're on keto, Built Bar is perfect for that diet. Right now, if you call while supplies last, you might end up with a free cooler. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. It's small market meets big market. Wednesdays on Locked On NBA Podcast. Join Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans Podcast and John Corrales of Locked On Celtics for a look at the NBA from all angles. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA Podcast today, wherever you get your podcast. Anthony, let's talk about hoops for a little bit. We talked about some, you know, the coronavirus spreading and the way it's impacted the Wizards and the league as a whole. To close out the podcast today, I want to talk about Kevin O'Connor's report. I believe it's on Monday afternoon. He reported that Scott Brooks was on the hot seat. This is something that we had discussed throughout the season. Before the season started, I predicted that Scott Brooks would be getting a contract extension. They're 3-8 right now, amongst the league's worst. Well, obviously, the season's young. Are we buying this report? Do you think Tommy Shepard has sat in his office and said, man, it might be time to let Scotty go?
You know what? What GM? I mean, we don't know what goes through the minds of all these GMs, right? We always question them every year, and we always, you know, try and, you know, make fun of these guys and think that we can do a better job. But really, we don't know what goes on with these GMs. And Tommy Shepard might have thought about it, but right now, I don't think that would be the smartest move for the team. I am with you. I am still 100% with you. I still think that Scott Brooks will get extended this season. I mean, there's a lot of fans out there, a lot of angry Wizards fans out there right now, not happy with the start of the season. And I understand that anger and I understand that frustration. But, you know, Scotty has done well so far in his stint in Washington. We can't, in my mind, I really can't count last season as like a true season, like to be like a good, great, great head coach when really all you had was Bradley Beal. And that was tough watching just Brad. I mean, everything was so reliant on Brad. And this year we're kind of seeing the same thing in random games, but I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of other guys step up, you know, and you know, with the three wins so far, they beat two really, really great teams. And I'm still standing here saying that I got Scott Brooks making it throughout the season. He's going to get extended. I still think that he's not. I don't think he's on the hot seat. I don't think he's going to get fired. And yeah, I think this is. I mean, if we're talking about issues with the team, I mean, Ben, how many times can we beat a dead horse? I mean, I just think it's this. The issue really lies with the depth and what was given to the coach, right? I think it really was just. I mean, the pieces that were put together. We talk about just the lack of need on the wing of maybe a veteran or like another veteran big man, or, you know, just more depth with their four or five positions. That's just my take on it. I don't really think the problem lies with Scott.
I think you're right in the fact that it's not all Scott Brooks' fault. I think he hasn't been the greatest this year with his kind of confusing rotations all throughout the year, not playing Trevor Brown. And we've talked about that in previous podcasts. But look, the NBA is you're hired to be fired. Once you get that job, it's almost with the expectation that you're going to lose it. When your team is struggling, whether or not it's your fault, the coach is the first to go. And I think I believe this report because obviously the team has been struggling this year. But from my knowledge, Tommy Shepard is also in his last season this year. He was given like a 2-year prove-it deal when Ernie Grunfeld got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made some moves that almost insinuate right. That he's made these moves to obviously help the team win games, but also to help keep his job. I mean, he traded for Russell Westbrook with the expectation that he would help him win games, the team would compete, and in turn, that would help him get a contract extension, help Scott Brooks get a contract extension. So I think for right. Tommy Shepard, I think he understands, you know, right. I've probably done my part. And you mentioned some of the moves that they should have done, the veteran wing. Obviously, they should have done that. Can't rely on a slew of young players to hold down the fort there. But, I mean, he traded for Russell Westbrook. The team's been struggling defensively, even though they signed Robin Lopez, whatever you want to make of that. And the team really hasn't lived up to expectations. So I think Scott Brooks might be the first to go here. A wrinkle here, though, something that we haven't considered when we talk about Scott Brooks is this COVID stuff that's been really throwing the team off. You have to think it's really throwing off the analysis of the front office too. If Bradley Beal's missing time with COVID out, if Rui and Mo Wagner are missing time, and you have to take a step back and be like, all right, at this point, it's really hard to assess the coach's job. And it's also a really difficult thing to do to your team, to strip the team of the head coach during such a turbulent, awkward time to assess the team. So I think obviously Scott isn't helped by this COVID situation by no means, but I think it's just more difficult for Tommy Shepard to assess the job of Scott Brooks. And outside of basketball, the X's and O's and the way he's handled the rotation, I'll give all the praise to Scott Brooks for the way he's handled the situation, because he's talked to the media basically every single day. He's been candid with everybody, and he's talked to the team every single day about what they should be doing with COVID. He's been open with himself. He's kind of a coach with an open door policy. He lets players vent to him. So from that perspective, he's done a fantastic job. And that's a part of the sort of evaluation I think they need to consider before they pull the trigger, or not pull the trigger, but pull the plug on Scott Brooks's coaching career.
So if they do pull the plug on his coaching career in Washington, who do you think would be a viable backup? Do you think they'll go, you know, they'll just hire like the quickest interim and then take their time to hire, or do you have someone in mind? And I mean, is there really anyone out there that you think that could do a much better job?
I love Ryan Richmond, their assistant coach, who's their head coach from the Capital City Go-Go, their G League team. He was fantastic. The way his offense was super innovative. I think he buys into analytics a little bit more than Scott Brooks does. I think he could probably put together a more modern offense, if you want to say that. But like you said, it's not like there's a Greg Popovich out there in the coaching free agent market that would want to coach the Wizards anyway. You'd probably be hiring a younger coach. Wes Unseld Jr. is really interesting with Denver. He was an assistant coach in Washington. There's obviously strong ties there, given that his father is probably the greatest player in franchise history. There's some interesting option there. And I think if they do eventually move on from Scott Brooks, if they miss the playoffs this year, whether Scott Brooks survives the season or not, if they miss the playoffs this year, I think he's going to have a really, really difficult time getting a contract again in Washington, D.C. I think Wes Unseld Jr. is a name to watch for. He's been connected to the team in the past. They have strong ties to the Denver Nuggets. They tried hiring Connolly before they settled with Tommy Shepard. He eventually rebuffed them and remained in Denver. But that's a name to watch. But like you said, Phil Jackson doesn't walk through that door. Greg Popovich doesn't walk through that. You're going to be taking a chance on a young coach more than likely. And that there's more repercussions to that too. You take a chance on a young coach, probably don't have Bradley Beal anymore. You know what I mean?
So, wow. All right. Yeah. And I know that you've been bringing that up a lot since last year. And if we don't have Bradley Beal in our presence in the District of Columbia, where will he be going? I know a hot spot that you got is Miami, but I mean, if they do deal him, what are we going to see in return?
I think you have to look at every move the Wizards will do through the lens of how does this impact Bradley Beal? Because with all due respect to Scott Brooks and anybody else on the roster, anybody else affiliated with the team, there's no one who even has close of importance as Bradley Beal does.
Right.
So whatever move they do is going to have a snowball effect. And how does this impact Bradley Beal? It's a question that we need to ask with everything else regarding the team. Where he'll go, Denver is a team that's really intriguing. Miami has a really high asking price for a guy like Tyler Herro, Duncan Robinson. Probably an absurd asking price. Pat Riley loves his players, and I love that the commitment he has to his players. I don't know if they can finesse a deal with that. And Denver is an interesting option for so many reasons. I think the ties with the teams, they have a lot of front office guys who used to work for the opposing team, coaches used to work for the opposing team. Michael Porter Jr., I think, is an interesting player. Will Barton is an interesting player. Gary Harris is an interesting player. Bol Bol. They can kind of put together an interesting package. You put together two of those young players, three of those young players with picks. The Wizards at least have to pick the phone up. I hope this doesn't happen because ultimately when you give up the best player in the trade, you're probably going to lose that trade and you're hoping that these players become as good as Bradley Beal.
Right.
But this is, I think, a team to watch going forward because I guarantee you that Tim Connelly is just waiting for the opportunity to pick the phone up and call his friend Tommy.
Right, and in the past we've seen teams trade their full dollar bill for four quarters, right? As in the full dollar bill being the superstar and the four quarters being – you know, assets and picks, whatever it may be. And, you know, really we've seen teams like the Lakers flourish from that. Obviously Anthony Davis is a one of a kind talent and they traded the house for him, but it didn't matter. It did not matter at all. They were by far the superior team in the league and that did not matter. So yeah, I think no matter what, I think no matter what, it's going to be a loss for the Wizards if they trade Bradley Beal.
That's the thing. I mean, how many times have these trades worked out where the team trading the best player ends up becoming better?
You know, and that's just for rebuild purposes, right?
Right. I mean, I guess you can make a case for like the Knicks when they traded Carmelo, they got a ton of players back and Nuggets went on to have a successful sort of run there with those role players. But ultimately, the Nuggets didn't win a championship. Neither did the Knicks. It ended up being a wash for both of them. And for Washington, Bradley Beal's still in his prime. Having to trade a player who was 27 years old, we talked about it ad nauseum. One of the best players in the league, arguably the best shooting guard in the NBA. I'd say he's the best shooting guard in the NBA today. When you're trading a player of that caliber and you're getting Michael Porter Jr., Bol Bol, what you're trading Bradley Beal for is hope. And that's a tough pill to swallow. And it's also a really tough pill to serve your franchise's fan base. You're telling them, not only did we trade John Wall, but in months' time, we also traded Bradley Beal. You're telling them, guys, have complete hope in us, and the fan base at that point won't have much left.
That would be so devastating for Wizards fans everywhere, for the culture of DC basketball, just seeing – I mean, I love Russ, and people that listen to the show know I love Russ, but knowing what John Wall has done for the community – in Washington, D.C., and what he was as a franchise player, one of the top players all time for D.C., him being traded at the beginning of the season, and if Bradley Beal is traded at some point this season, that just rips the entire foundation from the franchise. Obviously, Russell will still be it there at some point. I don't know what plans they would have for him if they did get to a Bradley Beal trade. I really don't know what that would mean for Russell. Maybe they would try and trade him too at some point. We've talked and you don't think his market value really holds any weight with any other teams. It seemed like the perfect trade between Houston and Washington, but still, this just, it just, if they trade Bradley middle of the season, end of the season, that is just such a devastating blow to a fan base, to an entire franchise that, you know, you weren't even let on to that you were going to rebuild at the beginning of the season. You were let on that you were going to make the playoffs with two star players and all NBA talents. And then you're going to end the season saying, you know, our two of the top franchise players ever, you know, maybe not the top players, you know, Wes Unseld, as you brought up, but right there at the top, scoring wise, just as players, they're gone and they're traded. And for what? Some picks, some assets, and obviously players that will never, you know, really live up to how great Bradley or John are and what we're seeing from Bradley still. We don't even know what his ceiling is yet. He's still going up. Like you said last night.
I mean, he's a
superstar. Absolutely. Like you said last night, I mean, there's an argument to be made that he is in the running for most improved. It's absolutely absurd to think that. And he's doing unthinkable things. So if he's traded at all during this season, at the end of the season, it is a big L for Wizards fans everywhere.
And that's why these games are so important, Anthony. To wrap up, we got Detroit hopefully coming up on Friday. We don't really know if that's going to happen or not. We'll see what happens. But these games coming up, they all matter. And every single game could ultimately mark the end of or the beginning of Bradley Beal's tenure in Washington, right? Because if they turn the season around, look like they did against Phoenix, then potentially they could turn the season around and convince Brad to stick around and have a competitive sort of team to build around. But right now you got Detroit coming up, Cleveland back-to-back, and then you have Charlotte. So you have four winnable games. You win all four of those games, you're 7-8, and you're knocking on the playoffs door. But who knows, Anthony? You got any parting words? Hopefully we'll have these games. Hopefully we can actually talk about basketball next time we talk.
Ben, I really wanted to see the Wiz go at Utah, and that's, you know, that'll be for another day. It's postponed, but here we go. We're on an easier slate now, as you said. You know, they're just coming off a really, really tough five-game stretch, and these are all winnable games coming up. So there's a lot to look forward to, and we just got to sit back and hope that these games aren't postponed.
I know I was looking forward to Andrzej Pachecznik guarding Rudy Gobert because that was an inevitability. It was an inevitability. I was like, they're going to have to play him. Like Scott Brooks, I think he looks at the bench anytime he sees AP and he's like, oh God. Like, I don't have to play him. But with TB out and Rui out, you have no other center. Right. Man, we could have saw a battle of the Titans with AP.
Right, and Scotty wanted to play Rui at the five, too, coming up against the Wiz, or the Jazz. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he would have played you at the center just to not have to.
I'd get down there and bruise with Gobert. I'm 6 foot. I'd get dunked on a couple of times, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, eat a couple of Built Bars.
Exactly.
Right there, you know what I mean? All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. You got any parting words?
DC, we love you. We appreciate you. We can't wait to rock with you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your night, your day, wherever you may be while you're listening.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.